Here it is, your intro.
Haha.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
I flashed a 70-year-old woman.
Well, you were making it pretty young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the strong men, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is linuxtech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1041 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening from Tornado Central.
And we have Joe.
Who's lifting weights.
Yep. We have Dave.
Just sitting here.
And a couple of things, since I didn't get to talk about this last week. You're going to like this, Joel, but not this one. A little update on the Dependabot stuff on Monday of last week.
And now I have to interrupt you again.
What's
Did
that?
You look up that word I told you to look up?
Wait, which word was that?
Dependapotamus?
Yes, I did. I did, and I forget what it was, but I'll look it up again.
Okay.
Anyway, on Monday of last week, it had been in two repositories. It was working fine. Doing exactly what we expect to do. I applied it across the other application, containerized applications, and that was going well. What kind of surprised people, which was not a surprise to me, was that it created a bunch of tickets for work to be done. Some people were not expecting the amount of tickets that were created because of this, which I think is a good thing to keep our applications up to date. And so for that last week, I spent some time putting the finesses on it and the final touches with grouping dependencies together and making sure we have enough information in the tickets that get created and kind of that stuff. And it was working great. Then I had to apply to our functions. Functions are deployed a little differently than our containerized applications. Functions make use of Google Cloud functions to run a application on demand, as opposed to having it like a containerized application constantly running and waiting. It runs on demand and it works really well. But I had finished all but one, or I think it was one function on by Monday. And I went to go in and put the final touches on Tuesday when as I want to do regularly, look back at the ones that had already been done to verify that things seemed to be looking good. And they looked great until I looked at the the stuff that had been auto-merged. And I noticed that it was auto-merging major dependencies. Now, we want only minor or patch dependency bumps, because major dependency bumps generally indicate there's some breaking changes, and we'd want to verify that the application, something didn't change that may not have been caught in a test. And I had seen that a bunch of major bumps had gone through, and what I noticed was that I was using a GitHub action called Dependabot metadata, and that pulled the information that was available, the metadata information for Dependabot PR that was open. And in there was something called dependency type, and I was using the SEMVer semantic version, which is what it was outputting. It was saying it was a dependency type SEMVer of minor or major or patch, and I forgot to include patch in there for the auto merging, which was a mistake on my part. But what it ended up happening particularly when you start grouping or groups. So it groups some dependencies together to avoid opening multiple PRs, and you can configure it to group other dependencies that you define that should be grouped together, like for instance TypeScript. There's a bunch of TypeScript libraries that we use, so things associated with that, we kind of want all that to go together, because if you only update one and not the other one and they're dependent upon one another, it kind of breaks. Not the application, it just doesn't pass the test because it can't resolve that stuff. Anyway, what it was doing for some of these group dependencies, instead of providing the semver and type of update, it was providing other dependency types like production or development or indirect or direct or direct production or direct or indirect production or stuff like that. And what they kind of mean by that is, like, direct is you have specified that library that you're going to use in your management system, however that is in ours. We're using package.json with npm and for Node. But an indirect dependency is a dependency that one of your defined dependencies is reliant upon. So if you have a dependency whose other dependency is dependency that's reliant upon has an update that's Dependabot may push that, try to push that through. And so, along with some other stuff. And so I had to account for that. Luckily, it didn't break anything, but it was kind of an eye-opening experience there that I had to make sure that we're only merging on minor and patches. And then for major bumps that pass tests, open one kind of ticket, and for major or for non-defined bumps that pass tests, whether we can't determine whether it's major, minor, or a patch because it's not one of those three dependency types. It opens a different ticket that says it just needs to be looked at. And I've come to really like it now. What it provides, or has been providing, is not only is it keeping our stuff up to date, but it also gives a little bit of low-hanging fruit that once you're done with like a project and you just want to maybe like take a break from picking up something heavy again, you can pick up a couple of these tickets. They're relatively simple to do, especially if they're just like, why did this minor bump break, or what is the problem with this major, like what do you need to do? It's pretty, it's a little fun to do, and it's needed, but it's also a break from hard work. So there was that. The other thing I wanted to say, damn, I love these screensavers. I'll do this for you. This is not technology related, but Joel, you might appreciate this. Now, as you've known in the past, and when we started this show many years ago, that my family's a big fan of Wawa. It's a convenience store that started in, I think it was Doylestown, yeah, Pennsylvania. So southeastern Pennsylvania. I think there's some in Ohio, yes? Did Wawa make it out to Ohio?
No.
Okay. So they go
We
from,
have Sheetz, but we do not have Wawa.
Okay. So from New York down to Virginia, they're going into North Carolina, and then they skip, and they're in Florida too. It's a convenience store, gas station convenience store now. And they have, like Sheetz, or Royal Farms, or I don't know, whatever convenience store that you have, there's a kind of made food that they make to order there. Wawa is really famous for their hoagies. They have the Hoagie Fest every year. Anyway, yep. they they just started doing pizza in our area. And on not this past Friday, but the Friday before was my daughter's swim meet that weekend. And I wasn't cooking that night. So I was like, let's try it. Let's try the Wawa pizza. And you can get a 12-inch, a personal, a 12-inch and a 16-inch pizza. And it looks nice. It kind of looks a little like a Domino's pizza or whatever. It looks nice, but it's not really that great tasting. It is, for a convenience store pizza, it's not
so
too
bad. So
basically
like Domino's.
it's not like hand-stretched dough. I believe it's, I don't even know if it is dough. I think it's more like a bubbly crust maybe. I don't know. The toppings, they got a lot of toppings, and the cheese wasn't bad, but the sauce did not really do it for me. I was saying to my wife today, as I thought more about it, it almost kind of tasted like the kind of sauce you would get on a frozen pizza, but not like a DiGiorno, more like a generic back when I was a kid, they used to be like four for a dollar. You can get those pieces like 10-inch little flat discs with toppings on them if you wanted them, like a cheese, a pepperoni, a sausage, or a supreme. I think those are the kind of offerings that they gave you. So it wasn't the best. But now I saw the Marvels, right? The next night, Saturday, saw the Marvels. And
did you like it?
And afterwards, I went, we were sitting there in bed, and I was talking to my wife about the Marvels. And my daughter had gotten sick that night on Friday, so she couldn't do the swim meet the rest of the week because she was sick. And she wanted soup for dinner, French onion soup, and which was fine because I had made stock that week, so I had some stock and made French onion soup, and it was chef's kiss of fresh onion soup, baby. It was so good. Loved it. And then while watching the Marvels, I had a nice sizable thing of popcorn, and it was our Valentine's, so a couple of pieces of that Russell Stover chocolate with whatever kind of filling that was in there, you know, the mixed blessing that you get in for the Valentine's thing. Well, let me tell you something. That Wawa pizza gave me bad gas. Like, really bad gas. Then add the French onion soup.
What doesn't give you bad gas?
The French onion soup and the popcorn and the chocolate on top of it. And as I was sitting there talking to my wife about the Marvels, and we both kind of agreed that it was the weakest Marvel movie that we've seen. And while we liked the characters, it just seemed like really rushed and bad, which was unfortunate. And I was tooting up a storm halfway through the conversation. My wife got up and left the room.
The blanket's floating.
She came back a few minutes later and she said, "We've been together almost 30 years.
Fucking
she said, there have been nights when the quantity has just been atrocious. But tonight, this has got to be one of the worst smells that have ever come out of your body."
It's quality, not quantity.
It was quality. She's like, "This is the topper. No more Wawa pizza for you. Never again."
Right.
And I was like, "I got more coming." And I went to hand her. I'm like, "Here, you can put this pillow over your face." But I realized the pillow was down towards the bottom of the bed. And I smelled the pillow, and it was like oil slick with my stink on it. It was terrible. My poor wife. Oh, and I had gas
Damn.
For like 3 days after.
It's
like
about
two
as
more
bad
days.
As when you farted.
And made my daughter puke.
It's about as bad as when you farted in the elevator at OLF. Oh my god, I remember that one time we're in the elevator at LLF and you just beefed one in the elevator like, god damn. Oh my god.
Yeah, anyway.
You're horrible.
Marvel's not good. Wawa Pizza even worse. I do not recommend Wawa Pizza.
You don't know that it was just a pizza though, for real. I mean, it could have been Brie Larson. I can't stand to watch her act anyway. But, I mean, you need to eat a Wawa Pizza without watching Brie Larson.
Well, you know what? To be fair, Dave, I ate the Wawa Pizza Friday night. All day Saturday, I had really bad gas. My wife was telling me it was bad gas. She's like, okay. So yes, I know. Now, here is another thing, and this is going to come maybe as a
Brie
shocker.
Brie stiff as a board, Larson.
No, as a shocker, that unfortunately, after I think it's been about 5 years, somehow this week, my MP3 player disappeared.
Oh no.
I have no idea what happened to it. I took it with me to go to the store. And I can't find it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because, boy, was that thing pissing me off whenever I try to connect it in my car. The audio jack is going on it, and I have to just finesse it and wiggle it. And anyway, my question
So you're joining the modern world and just going to use your phone?
No, that was going to be my question, is what is the recommended application for podcasts? Because I just took a cursory look and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to jump in and ask people who've already used some of these applications and may have an opinion.
You're not an MP3 player. You're not going to buy another Sansa.
Not right now. It wasn't a Sansa. It was a Chinese knockoff brand.
Super Bushi.
I'll have to look it up, but it was really good. My problem with the Sansas and all of these is that they went to the 2000 file limitation on the database, which I have an SD card with more than, I guess, 2000 music files on it.
You gotta put Rockbox on it.
You're right.
There you go. I mean, that's a possibility too. Anyway. So I was just thinking about using my phone, trying that out. Because I use it, like I play music off of it sometimes when I'm working out or I'm in the car with YouTube Music. So what?
If you got YouTube Music, I mean, there's a
YouTube
Google
Music.
Yeah, Google Podcast app.
Google Podcast is done.
Oh, it is? But, yes. But it's been integrated into Google Music though, right?
YouTube Music, maybe, but... I'll tell you what I used. Originally, I used Dogcatcher. That was at the time when I had my G1. That was the only one there was. Okay,
that's what I was trying to remember. I thought it was something.
Did you already set up Audio Bookshelf?
That was me. I don't think Dan did that.
No.
Dan?
No, I don't have Audio Bookshelf. I don't listen to audiobooks.
Audio Bookshelf podcast?
Yeah, it does podcast.
Yeah, it'll download your podcast for you, and it'll be on your home server, and then you just stream it to your phone.
Yeah, but that's the idea is so that he doesn't have to stream it. So if he's driving along, he doesn't have to eat up his bandwidth. What I would recommend is Podcast Addict. I like that one the best. It can stream podcasts as well if you really need to. But it will download them, and it also is a podcast 2.0 compatible one too. So now, not all podcasts do this, but a lot of podcasts like No Agenda will put bookmarks in, and it'll tell you if you look at your screen, it'll tell you what part of the podcast it's in. You know, so. Not very many actually do that, has been my experience, but it's there. And the nice thing is if your podcast includes a streaming link somewhere in the feed, when they go live, you can stream it into the app. So
My Google podcast doesn't die till April 2nd, by the way.
Oh, no, that's not doing me any better, Dave. Come here, yeah. right, yeah. That makes it better, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I did try Google Podcasts. I didn't care for it at all. I mean, it's just, I like the way, I like Dogcatcher to the point where I actually bought it. It was like $3 at the time when I bought it. But I think it's Podcast Addict to pay for it too. I don't remember if it is or not, but I listen to podcasts enough, you know, that I don't mind if I did have to pay for it, I probably did. But I don't remember if I had to pay for it or not.
I always used Podkicker.
I used Dogcatcher. I used Bash Potter for a little while. I've been using, I've not listened to a podcast in since last year. Because I don't commute anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't either, but, you know, I work from home, so, you know, I can listen. And then you can also do things like you can stream, like if you have the Google home speakers, you can stream it to those. So I'm an actual beta tester of Podcast Addict, so I'm on the beta, the latest beta. There's others out there, but that's the one I use. That's my favorite one. I don't even does iPod or Lemon even exist anymore? That was one of the original ones, and the Bash Potter, you know, that script probably hasn't changed in forever. Because I don't even know if Link uses it anymore. I chat with Link all the time.
I was still using it. I love Bash Potter.
You know, I used it on my Nokia 770, the N770 tablet. I'm just disappointed Nokia basically did nothing with it. I did a long time ago get to play with the N900 for a little bit, but it was well after it was supported, and my carrier never supported it at all, so. But it was a nice device for the time. But yeah, that's what I would. The thing I like about Podcast Addict is it will let me back up the my feeds to the cloud, and then when I get a new phone, I just log into the app and bam, all my feeds are there.
Dun 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 dun.
So, anywho, what were you using, Dan, to download podcasts with?
On my computer?
Yeah.
He was using Bash.
Yeah, Bash Potter.
Okay. You're still using that then, or you just need to sync it to your phone?
No, I Bash was Potter using is it. What he's using. Yeah, I was using it. I don't. If I'm going to do something with my phone, I'm just going to do
an app.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother transferring it. Yeah.
Right.
Why do you ask,
just,
Dave?
Just wondering.
Yeah, it's probably better just to use the app on your phone. I was going to suggest maybe just, you know, set up Nextcloud to automatically sync your GPod to your phone, but then that doesn't keep it organized for your player.
Right.
Oh, maybe I could finally listen to whatever Living in the Shade of an 80s Arcade became.
Actually, Living in the Retro Arcade.
There we go, Living in the Retro Arcade.
So I can talk about more than 80s. Yeah, I know. It uses freaking Apple's format. I wrote Spotify because I use Spotify for that. You know, at one point, I actually did get paid for that show because I did have a sponsor, but the sponsor was Spotify. so at like maybe $10. First time I ever got any money for a podcast. Well, exception of when we had that we had a Ting sponsorship for a very short time. Like, I think, what, 2 months?
Oh,
I think
yeah, it was. Yeah.
I forget. I remember I gave away a phone. That's what I remember. The Note 3 back in the day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the Note 2. I had the Note 3. Yeah, I had the Note 3. Then I went with the Pixel 2 XL. And then I went with the...
Note 10 Plus. Go through the list of all the phones we had last time.
No, not all of them.
Pretty sure we do. Okay.
Not all of them, but I did try some playing around, more playing around with Haiku OS this week. I was managed to get Mumble working, but I'm not using it tonight because. One thing I found is severely lacking in Haiku OS is support for USB audio. As in, it don't have none. But I plugged in like a phone headset because my old laptop has a triple ring headphone jack, you know, so you can plug in the same style that you use for a phone into it. And that worked okay. I did a little test here on the Echo, Echo, the Mimic Room, whatever you call that, audio test room. That's it.
That's a little surprise about Haiku and USB audio. I mean, Haiku is supposed to be all about multimedia, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's essentially a clone of BOS, you know. It still doesn't really have a great browser either. The best ones are a little crashy. But I was able to read things like go in and read like my Gmail in there and stuff like that. That was all okay. And I think I was also able to play some videos on it too. But let me tell you, that thing boots really fast, like less than a minute.
And so what are you going to do with it then?
Laptop is the last one I had to.
What are you going to do with it?
Just continue to play with it until I'm hoping. Well, I'm hoping somebody ports Firefox over to it. I haven't gotten around to that yet. I probably could do it. I would just have to make sure GCC and all that's on there and compile it. Which I'm not sure how if that's even possible on Haiku OS. I think it is. Mumble's there, so as is VLC and quite open shots there as well.
Man, I'd check out Pocket Cast for Android.
Yeah, that's another one. I've used Pocket Cast too.
I mean. Google's evidently moving it to YouTube Music, but I hear that sort of sucks.
We're trying to kind of do what I think. Well, Spotify added podcasts after the music, and to me, that does, I prefer a app that's podcast only instead of both. That's just my preference. Yeah. But, yeah, I think you missed it where I said we got five tornadoes in the Columbus area, Dan.
And we talked about this before the show.
In the pre-show? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't remember if we did or not. Because I remember you came in. I was taught when I was talking to Dave about it. It's nothing as bad as like I think it was a couple of years ago out towards Dayton where the Meijer grocery store has a distribution center out there that ripped the whole wall off the side of the distribution center, and they had to like waste all of like the section that got hit was where they had all of their pre-branded bags, you know, the bags that said Meijer on the plastic ones. So they had to buy some like no-name ones temporarily to replace those. But
dun dun dun.
And I cooked my breakfast by lighting the gas stove with a lighter. I'm a heathen. That's why I bought a gas stove, though. One big reason why I bought a gas stove. That way, if I ever have a power outage, I'm good to go. Cooked my eggs in my cast iron skillet. I love my cast iron.
That's pretty much all I'm cooking on anymore is one of my cast iron devices. Except for my wok. I use my wok all the time, too. But everything else is pretty much cast iron. Sometimes
I have a cast iron wok, actually.
You have cast iron, that must be heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not as actually my lodges are heavier than it because I got like the 8-inch and then I think I got a 12-inch lodge. I kind of want to get either an enameled Dutch oven or a cast iron Dutch oven. I'll probably go with the cast iron. I actually technically have a cast iron Dutch oven, but it's the one with the legs on it, so it's for the campfire.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it has the legs and a lid with a lip on it so that you can put coals on top of that lid. So basically you can bake in it on the campfire. We'll see if I really haven't used it at all. I was going to use it, but the weekend that we went camping, which was, gosh, that was... 4 years ago now.
Dan already gave a Dutch oven to his wife. You could ask him for one, too.
He did.
I thought about Dave the whole time, too.
Different kind of Dutch oven, though.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Suppositories.
Why not?
Dave has to
suppository in there, right?
Have these stop apart.
I gave my wife a wet dry vac for Mother's Day 1 year.
Oh, Lord.
Did she ask for that?
That was a bad move, dude.
No. She looked at me like, you know, are you serious? But she loved it. What, after she used it?
I just got a new one, actually, a little one. Because my little one, I went to go to Lowe's to buy a filter for it. They didn't even have that vacuum anymore. Never mind the filters for it. So a new one was only like $35, so I went and got it. But because I have a little one that I will use, because I have a Pit Boss, and about every other cook or so, I'll take all the great grids off and take the reflector off, and then suck all the dust out of it from the ash that the pellets make. So,
My wife won't spend money washing a car. She does it herself. She's all done vacuuming her car. That's why I got it for her. But we've got another one since then. My son-in-law works for Ryobi, and I got a Ryobi OnePlus wet dry vac, battery powered. A little nicer. Yeah.
I might look up the model number online of my other one and see if I can't find one for it too. But because I hate that, because it still works. It just needs a new filter. I screwed it up, sucking water up once. Because I basically ruined the filter. And, but the new one, I kind of like the new one better because it's, the other one was kind of an odd shape. This one's round. So kind of, yeah, I think it's easier to deal with, but we'll find out. Have not actually used it with the grill yet, since I haven't cooked since end of last summer on the grill. I'm overdue to start it. I need to go get some burgers and stuff to try it. Burgers and I've made Chex Mix on my Pit Boss before, and that works really good.
It was 90 degrees here the other day.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Wow. People were out grilling. You could just smell the wood smoke around the neighborhood.
There you go.
It was kind of nice then, but now it's, you know, back down in the 40s again.
Yeah. 40s.
And it's supposed to be rainy next week. My wife was saying that she wants, you know, a relatively constant 65 to 75, and I'm like, what, you want to move to California?
Tennessee kind of has that a lot, too. Although it will get cold.
Yeah.
But I went on a 3 mile walk around the neighborhood Sunday, is what kind of my first training walk. What I do know is I don't want to use my sneakers when I go to hike the 20 miles. That's not gonna happen. I'm gonna have some trail runners before then.
What trail about runners some hikers?
Or boots. Well, that's the thing.
Get that ankle support. Those big boys need that ankle support.
Yeah, I'll probably be okay with the trail runner. I do have a pair of hikers. I probably am going to try and get a new set because I'm not sure if the pair of hikers I have are the wider width ones or not. I might put them on for my next training hike. Hopefully in the actual woods this weekend. Sunday was, because since it was rain, it's been raining quite a bit here, so I didn't really feel like going sloshing around in the mud on a trail, you know, when really all I needed to do was walk, you know, so, which that would accomplish the same thing, keep my legs strengthened and test myself for the endurance part, so. But I'm going to gradually work my way up to, I want to get between 6 and 10 miles hikes in on the weekends.
I hiked 6 miles on Saturday. And,
there you go.
I didn't want to. My wife and I went to Chimney Rock, North Carolina for the weekend. And that's where they filmed Last of Mohicans, and they filmed part of Dirty Dancing there, I think, too. Anyway, it's a mountain. It's a big rock mountain, and there's a 26-story elevator you can take that goes through the mountain to get to the top, or you can take the stairs. And my wife's in much better shape. Maybe she wanted to take the stairs. And it's like 500 stairs, and I went up. I took the elevator down, though. My knees couldn't take the
trip. I would have. Yeah.
I'd have ridden the elevator up and walked my ass down.
I wanted to, but we ended up being 6 miles for that day.
There you go. So doing that,
went on a couple of bike rides.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, I'm gonna do like training hikes in the weekend because that's the only time I have for a really long one. I've been doing hill programs on the treadmill. So I can get used to doing the hill climbs. Because there is going to be some hills around there.
Are you doing 20 miles on the treadmill?
No, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that in a day today, you know, but at least do the
but just at night when you're supposed to be sleeping.
Right, yeah. But, you know, there's a magical thing called work and then class, you know. So, and life. I did cook for 3 straight days, though, which is kind of impressive for me. Ain't happening tomorrow.
I played
drums. Did you make grilled cheese all 3 days?
No.
What'd you cook?
I made chili. Then I made shredded beef tostadas. Shredded beef tostadas. That was last night. And then tonight I had fish and tater tots. Mostly because that's about all I had left in the freezer for something I could cook for the whole family. And I had I had 15 tater tots today, so I kind of splurged a little bit.
That's not much.
Nah, it's just a little bit of, it's about 1.5-ish servings.
That was how you cook the tater tots, too.
Actually, those I baked. I baked the tater tots and I air fried the fish.
Well, that's not so bad.
Nope. It had plenty of hot sauce on it, too.
Do you know how many calories you're going for a day?
The low end I've never hit, because there's a range that Noom gives you, and I've never hit the bottom of the low. All right, so I try to get it between 1800 and 2200-2300, somewhere around.
Really?
There.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna ask a couple of personal questions here.
Yeah.
Because that's low.
I know.
Especially if you're, you know, exercising with any kind of regularity. How much do you weigh?
I was 316 this morning, so I'd lost a couple more.
Are you losing like a pound or two a day?
No.
are you sure on your calorie count then?
Yes. Yeah, I have 25. Actually, wait a minute. Is it? I can't read this shit. My eyes are tired. Hold on.
Are old.
Yeah.
Bro, you should be starving.
2355 is what I've had today. The weight loss zone they have in the app is between 2960 and 3710. So.
The weight loss zone for you, they have between 2960 and 37?
Yeah. 3710, yeah.
3,700.
Yeah, 3,700. Yeah, 3,710.
And you're eating between 18 and 2,300.
About that. Yeah, actually, I've been over 2 every day this week, thanks to the freaking chips. But I'm
just saying, it seems a little low.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're weighing 315 pounds, I would say that in order to maintain that, you would need to be around, like, well, with your level of activity, 3,200 to 3,500 calories. And losing weight would be in the, 2,800 range. And then you just bring that number down over time.
Yep. That's just what I'm not even trying. To be honest, to hit the lower, I'm eating what my body is asking for the most part. So,
okay. Well, 18 to 23 is something that like active 200, maybe less pound person should be eating.
Yep. Yep. Hey, you know, if I can get away with the lower amount, I do, and I usually do.
Well, as long as it's, you know, high protein.
Yep. Well, trust me, it is. I usually have, I've been doing eggs or protein shake every morning, so. Mm. Yeah, I get my protein. I get like, my protein.
220 grams of protein per.
I don't know. You dropped out, man.
Well, can everybody else hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You should be having like 200 to 220 grams of protein per day. And one protein shake is about 25.
Yep. But counting all the meat, like today I had the Jess Bear chicken chunks for lunch. I actually had double serving of that. And, yeah. So I'm doing all right. I mean, I don't feel like.
As long as it's working starving. For you.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, so, I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. Like I said, I bought a big box of those 50 single serve bags of chips in them, and I've been hitting them stupid things hard.
I had like 3 Oreo cookies.
But less. Today. I did not have any Oreos.
I did. But I got the Oreo cookies so that I could make protein shakes with them. But
Yeah,
I ended up eating a couple of them because my wife wanted some, so the package was open and it was right there.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the mix of chips I got has the Red Hot Cheetos, the jalapeno ones, the Dorito, regular nacho cheese Doritos, the sweet chili Doritos, which are delicious. And I'm trying to think, well, the sour cream and cheddar ruffles. But, you know, when I get them, yeah, I get no more than a bag or two, you know, maybe. And it's not like when I buy a big bag and I pour a whole big ass bowl. I don't do that anymore.
Actually measure your servings?
I do.
Do this crazy thing where you actually check the number of calories or the amount of sugar or the macro split.
Well, yeah. I'm looking more towards calories at this point than macros.
Yeah. No. Worry about the macro split later. Just gear everything towards a higher protein count.
Yep. Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I'll have my ups and downs, and that's fine. More downs than ups. Tomorrow will probably be I may do Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
Do Canes.
Give me. Yeah, you know, my problem with Canes is I always end up wanting to get the Caniac combo, which is super huge.
1,800 calories.
Yes.
But it's a nice big meal for 1,800 calories.
It is, too. Yeah, you got the garlic bread and the fries and the cane sauce. I like it, but it's not my favorite thing to dip chicken fingers in. It really is.
It's really good for French fries.
Yeah, it's good for that. I have some of the Wahlburger sauce downstairs, too.
Oh, that's my wife found out you could buy Arby's sauce in Walmart.
Oh, here you go.
She loves that stuff, so.
I like, of Arby's sauces, I like the horsey sauce the best myself.
Yeah, me too.
When I get that, if I just get the plain roast beef at Arby's, that's got to go on it. But I usually don't get the plain one. I usually get the cheddar one. Because cheese. And they got to get curly fries. But if I get curly fries, I get the small curly fry now. And that's my treat meal when I get fries. But yeah, I gotta go. If I try my hikers and don't like them, I'll have to probably go get really thinking trail trail runners with a not high top, but a mid top would be fine enough for me for ankle support. You know, this is not, you know, the trail of Burr Oak is not going to be real, real rustic. You know, it's not going to be like the AT would be. It's a state park trail, so it's not going to be too tough. It's just going to be long. Cool.
But Joe, do you use Audio Bookshelf for podcasts?
I was using it for podcasts. I stopped for a little while. I got to re-get my all my subscriptions. But yes.
Got to find your OPML file, huh?
Yeah, I have a backup somewhere. I just have to find it.
Damn it, I'm talking and I'm muted.
Oops.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Do you use Audio Bookshelf for anything other than the podcast?
Ebooks.
And ebooks and audiobooks? Do you
That's
use
it?
Maybe I'll look into that one of these days. Yeah. Oh!
Yes,
there was another thing I was going to bring up. This pissed me off. On my daughter's birthday last week, we had everybody over, had a good time, and when I came down here to finish the show together,
right?
I went back upstairs and I was going to empty and fill the dishwasher. And I realized I didn't run the dishes through. So I went, put it through, and then I was like, I'll do it in the morning. So got up next morning, opened it up, and I'm like, fuck, did I not turn it on again? What happened? And, yeah, again, it's dead. Yes, it is dead. Like, it was working fine. I'm not having a problem. Everything was going great. I've been keeping it cleaned out because I know they're real pricks about it. If they come in and see a speck of food on there, they're going to be like, you burned the motor, you know? And, like, it was just running perfectly fine, and then, boom, it'll fill, it'll drain, but it won't spray again. Same thing that happened last time.
And, of course, it's probably the same model and everything as your old one, huh?
Well, no, all they did, so this, I had, when we moved in here, our dishwasher, we had that up until 2020. And 2020, it died. It finally died. And they eventually got us a new, not a new one, they pulled one from another unit in there. And that ran until June/July of last summer, and that motherboard went, or the main controller on that thing went, and they put in a brand new one. That was this one. That one did the exact same thing. It just stopped spraying in October, and it was replaced sometime in, I think, November/December, because I had to go through all that crap with them, and the exact same thing happened again now. It was working fine, and then all of a sudden, it just will not spray anymore. Now, it dawned on me last Wednesday night when I went to empty it that something was going wrong here, because it looked like it had gone through everything. The little door opened up to expel the detergent,
so
but I guess it was a little humid in there or whatever, so the detergent was a little clumped in there, and I should have been the clue that I should have keyed me to the fact that it didn't work. Now, a couple of things that I'm wondering here, and I don't think FMA listens to this, and I hope not, but when this happens, I had two things went through my mind. I'm like, it could be a couple of things. It could be a simple fix. I don't know. I looked at some recommendations online about what to do. Somebody had said, well, all you have to do is just pull it out, turn it over, and there is a motor on the back that you can easily pull off and check the inside to see if it's gunked up or dirty. I took the time to do that. That was like an hour there to pull it out and do that. And I spotless. It was spotless in there. So I'm pretty sure it has nothing. I don't think it had anything to do with being food particles or anything like that before. It was just running fine perfectly and then suddenly stopped. Now, one of the things that I wonder, and I don't know if this is kind of related, but when they installed this dishwasher, it had, I'm going to assume it's because there have been a couple of dishwashers that have been pulled in and out of there, right? So there are two connections at the top that allow you to kind of screw the where the arms come in, screw that to the counter so that it doesn't slide around. And of course they used a mismatch of screws, and the one doesn't and never has fully prevented the dishwasher from moving around. So sometimes when you close it, after a while, it kind of shifts a little bit to the left, and it's pretty much almost imperceptible. It's a little wedged back there that creates a little bit of friction on the door. And when you go to close the door, sometimes it doesn't close properly or all the way. So you got to make sure that you jiggle it back out of there and close it. Other things that I have noticed, that it'll start to fill up, and when it goes into the spray cycle, sometimes that's enough, if there's a little bit of resistance on that door, that it'll kick the door open. And now, generally, that's just like if you open the door when the dishwasher's running, all it does is just pause the dishwasher. And when you close it, it either automatically starts it back up to where it was, or you just press the start button and it'll kick back in. I don't see how this could be a possibility. It doesn't sound like it, but I'm wondering, is there something with this model that when that door gets bumped open, or when it's been left open for a while, something gets screwed up on this thing? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make much sense that that would be the possibility. I'm kind of reaching at straws here. The most likely possibility is that there is some kind of defect in this washer that is burning out,
right,
the motor, that motor for the spray.
Yep.
I don't know why that would, you know, and it's not something that you could just replace it. It's going to end up happening again, because that's what happened here. And I don't know if you've ever gone
my microwave is the same way.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever gone online to look at diagnosing a dishwasher, right, Whirlpool especially. There is, like, unless you actually have that little piece of paper that's stuffed under the, you know, they stuff it under the dishwasher and when they install it for a technician to look at, that they don't generally give the end user. I think they took that paper and got it, because I couldn't find it. But there is a sequence of lights above the buttons, you know, the buttons, or the buttons, the lights on the buttons, or the lights above the buttons, that you can put the dishwasher into a diagnostic mode, which on my model, it's just hitting any three keys in succession three times fast was like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and it puts it into a diagnostic mode. But unless you know like how to read that, and when you try and research how to read that, there are so many different models, and I couldn't find any specification for the model that I had to verify this. But it's like, well, if this light flashes once and then this light flashes one time, it's this problem. But if it's two, it's this problem. If it flashes three times fast and then pauses and flashes once, it's like all these possibilities of the flashing lights that at that point, like, I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on with it, right? It would run through the diagnostic, but I couldn't tell if it was informing me that something was wrong or not. At that point, I kind of gave up on it and called them, put in a work order for it. I even tried just switching the power breaker off for 15 minutes, hoping that maybe it was the controller or the software in there just needed to be reset. And there's really reading. That's the surefire way to do it. That didn't solve my problem either. So I contacted them. This was on Friday. Because I spent Thursday trying to figure out maybe if I could get this thing to work, but no. So got them, put in the work order, and they didn't even come out. They were like, I saw that they put the work order in progress. Then I saw it when the work order got put on hold. Then I got an email from the property manager. She said, we're just going to send the Whirlpool warranty maintenance out, and I'll make an appointment with them. And she came back. She's like, the earliest I could get was March 5th. And I was like, that's cool. Thanks. Because, yeah, there's got to be the most logical thing is there's something wrong with this. Because even if I was throwing bones in the bottom of the damn thing, it should last more than 2 months.
Agreed. Yeah.
So now I'm back to washing my damn dishes by hand. Yep. Five times a day.
And what's worse is you probably, well, you may not have your heat on all the time, but I don't know about you, but up here, I still have my heat on, and my skin is, until like June or so, my skin is usually dry as hell.
I bet it is.
And I literally am using I have a bottle of lotion sitting at my desk, and I hit that two or three times a day because my hands feel like crap.
At your age?
Yeah.
Hitting that lotion a couple times a day? And I even drink a ton of water, too. Right there at the desk?
Ha, 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 ha.
Hey, that's a compliment.
Uh-huh.
No, I've been actually having a lot of problems with dry hands and dry feet lately. Like, especially, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, the time I go to bed, we haven't had the air conditioner or the heater on or anything, but my hands and my feet are so dry that I just cannot sleep, so.
Yep.
Do you have a problem with your feet cracking?
Greasy hands and feet.
I don't have calluses on my feet that thick anymore.
Yeah, I've been having had problems for a couple years now with my feet getting calluses on them and cracking. And I've been taking better care of it now, because man, those cracks hurt like hell sometimes.
I bet they do. What are you doing? Like compression socks?
I've been using compression socks for a couple years now, but also what I do is I make sure I keep my feet, I clean my feet, I make sure that I put lotions on them, and I have this sock I put on that provides lotion, I also had my wife shave off some of that callus down there, because she used to be an esthetician, so she knows how to do a lot of that shit better than I do. That I'm not going to end up shaving my nerves off
right.
and not walk for a day or two. But it was like beautiful for a good month and a half, and then I kind of slacked off and taking care of it, and I should have been a little more on top of it, and now it's starting to callus up again, and I gotta get back in, you know, fixing it.
You don't,
back
on you don't run barefoot no more?
No, I had to stop because of my plantar fasciitis.
It sucks eventually getting old.
No.
Yeah, it does.
When it comes to my feet, the worst problem that I have is like nails, the nails on my feet. I have to keep a very, very close eye on them because if I don't take care of them, they will get ingrown. And then usually, you know, I'll get an infection right there at that cuticle line. And that crap hurts to clean out. And I don't want to pay a doctor to do it because I know how to do it. And which means no anesthetic for Joe, and he gets to do it the hard way. But you know, a couple of times of that, and you learn your lesson. Take care of your feet.
More. Yep.
How'd you get rid of your plantar fasciitis, Dan?
I didn't fully get rid of it. What
the Super Feet Green insoles inserts fixed mine.
See, my problem is, I generally don't have it unless I run.
Yeah. When I quit running, I run away. But
have you
when I run,
thought about switching to like an elliptical? Because I know you like running.
I have all that stuff available to me at the Y right up the a block away, two blocks away. I like being outside when I do that. And If I take it easy, I'm usually okay.
Yeah, but where's the fun in that?
I like to run. And
you're like pushing yourself.
Run too fast, right? If I run too fast, then like it doesn't hurt me then. But I went for a run on Monday and like I was fine until I sat down.
20 minutes later,
and after I. 20 minutes. Yeah, I sat down and then I stood up and I'm like, oh my God, I almost can't walk.
I'm telling you, the Super Feet Green insoles fixed mine completely back when I was running. And I still
Drop a link.
I'll find that. Hold on a second.
What is it
Super
called?
Feet Green. I send you a link.
Because I have to put insoles on all my shoes.
Okay, Super Feet Green, right? Is there a difference between the other ones?
I think the colors may have to do with arch support.
Okay.
I just put a link in there. But I tried several inserts.
None
of them work, but the
kind of
the
things
Super
I'm
Feet
trying
Green
to pay
fixed.
Interesting. I may look into something like that too prior to my hike, because my goal, you know, is to get through the hike and not feel totally wrecked, you know.
If you get through the hike and you don't feel totally wrecked, have you done it right?
Yes.
Well, mine was so bad I was looking at maybe wearing a boot, you know, while I slept. And,
right.
But I tried several things first. I mean, I tried, you know, icing it and rolling your foot on a frozen water bottle. Yep. I tried several inserts, but the Super Freak Green finally fixed it.
Now, where was your pain? Was it
on
was it
the
in,
heel?
Like in?
Yep.
Oh, on the heel, up.
No, the heel going
up your ankle
towards the middle of my arch.
Okay.
But mainly the heel.
Okay, because mine is from the heel going up, like my Achilles towards my Achilles tendon.
Mine felt like I was walking on bone. I mean, it felt like, you know, I had no padding on my heel. Oh, yeah.
So this is...
You can't walk that. You limp.
I Googled that, and it's and they said, previously named Green, all-purpose support high arch.
Yeah. That's what I wear. And, I mean, I still wear them. And I've not had a problem. Well, you know, I quit running like 3 years ago, but But, you know, I had plantar fasciitis 3 years prior to that, so it worked while I was running, and it's, I'm assuming it's still working now. But
that goes for, like, when I go
can't
to,
stop running, dude.
I need to start back.
Saves my life.
I need to start back. I've got an elliptical 3 foot behind me that I've not used once.
You don't use?
No, my wife uses it. You know, other than that hike, you know, the only exercise I've done this week, I played drums for 30 minutes yesterday.
See, like,
I've got a gazelle, but it's barely better than walking.
Yeah, this is a Horizon. We bought it used. It was in a gym at one time. It's a nice one.
There you go. Yeah, so that it's those feet things I'm paying a lot of attention to, because I know that like I will wear New Balance sneakers when I did my 3 mile walk Sunday, and my feet didn't hurt. It's just they felt like they were just that if I kept going, they were going to. So things I'm going to look for when I pick either a trail runner or a hiker is I want the toe box to be fairly roomy, and possibly looking at the zero drop kind of a trail runner, which they do have those. The Ultra.
Yeah, that's what you're right looking at, the Ultras.
Yeah, Ultra Lone Peaks.
They have
that's what I'm looking at.
Huge toe box.
Yep, that's what I'm looking at. Those Ultra Lone Peak, either the 7s or the 8. I can get the 7s on Amazon for like $84. The 8s are going to run around between 140 and 150.
Yeah, that's normal. But
right.
I ran in Hokas back when I was quit running, but I got to have padding with my purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And I run on the outside of my feet anyway. I mean, I
may end up
the opposite is supination, but what's it called?
Right.
I forget what it's called, what I got, but it's I run on the outside of my feet.
Okay.
The opposite of supination would be pronation.
That's it. That's
yeah, pronation.
I've got pretty severe pronation. Just standing and walking, any of that. And I've sprained my ankle multiple times growing up. And
right.
It's weak anyway.
So what I'll probably do is before I buy them, well, first I'll go see if REI has any of the 7s in stock. Because we do have an REI or either REI or what's the other sporting goods place? I want to say Dave's, but that's not right.
Dick's.
Thank you. Yep. Dick's, I have a Dick's right here.
You can find previous models on Amazon. Some of these shoe places have outlet stores where they sell previous models as well.
Yep. And I'm going to need like a 10 or a 10 and a half wide. Because when I go buy sneakers, that's what I always get is wide, because I got wide feet.
Dan, I would try those Superfeet greens. I'd go out and get them tomorrow. If you're in that kind of pain, I would try them.
I'll see about that. Yeah, I have it. I'm going to see about getting those.
Yeah, they
are on Amazon like for the 50, same price.
50 bucks for those?
Yeah, that's around
55.
Yeah. And you may want to
seems a little steep.
Yeah, they're that's what I paid. They're worth it. You may want to go to your running store. I mean, they may suggest something different if your pain is going up the Achilles tendon. But
right.
Yeah, the shoes I have. I went to the running store and this was these were a couple years ago. I think a year and a half ago. I probably need to go back in soon, and it helped for a while, but it's just just the wear and tear. It's inevitable.
Yeah. I had two pair at one time when I was working, but I just got one pair and I switch them out in all my shoes.
$50, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
What is with Amazon and weird ass long links? Because that's the. That's the pair of trail runners I'm looking at right now, which should be good for hiking.
That is a long link.
In it though.
I don't know if y'all saw that.
It's Joel's affiliate link. He doesn't want you to know that you're supporting him by using that link.
See, that's the one thing you look at here. Is those ones were 89, and that's the blue ones. But what I don't get, and I see this on Amazon, like when you go from one color to the next, well, I guess they're all 89. Huh.
I ran in a pair of those.
The other day, they're...
I ran in a pair of those for a week. My running store let you return them if you didn't like them. And I love the toe box, but the zero drop, this was a mess for me.
Right, right. I'm with you. I can see how that might not be comfortable for some. Yeah. Was it? Oh, no. I think it's the blue ones were the only ones I can get in my size, if I remember right.
Hey, when I was running, I used to think that the color of the shoe didn't matter. I was just running in them. But I had one pair of shoes that were like neon orange. And I swear, in the 6 months I ran in them, I probably had people stop and roll down their window and say something about my shoes mid-run. 4 or 5 times in 6 months.
Were they talking smack, or were they saying, "Oh, those are cool"?
Oh, they thought they were cool, but they were super high visibility. But you know, I don't want to be stopped. You know, take my earbuds out and have to listen to somebody commenting on my shoes while I'm running.
Well, see, you got to run where there's no people.
Well, there's no people where I live. I mean, there is, but it's a small town. But, and I guess maybe that's why they thought it's okay to stop and talk. But the color of the shoes do matter.
That's when you get the biggest headphones you can find that'll stay on your head while you're running.
Yeah.
Well, they got the blues, and I think the blues and the black and gray ones that are in my color. Like I said, I'm going to see what Dix has. And I do want, before I go and spend that much cash on some footwear, I want to make sure that they at least feel good when I put them on in the store.
Yeah. Like, I don't usually wear cans for my headphones, barring certain circumstances like podcasting. Yeah. But if I go to the gym, I really, really don't want to talk to anybody. A pair of cans are perfect because people know to leave you alone.
Yeah. I gave my earbuds to my wife and I bought my Soundcore ear cans, whatever you call them. I love them.
I got to find mine. I got a pair of the Soundcore cans around. I don't, they're like my backup set of headphones for when I go on calls for work. But especially going into the summer, I don't like to wear them because it gets freaking hot. Yeah. Definitely not when I'm in the gym. I'm either wearing my Iowas, if I'm using my phone, or if I got my iPad on, I got a pair of AirPods. I don't have to buy AirPods for my iPad, but I wanted a dedicated set because it's a pain in the butt switching your headphones between devices.
I think my... my crushers are broke right now. I still have to 3D print some parts to fix them again. So if I were going to the gym today, I'd have to wear my Sonys. The XB700s with the modified ear cups.
Mm-hmm. See, here's what you do, Joe, is when you're modify the ear cups, take a drill and drill out some holes in the backside of it and then put a fan in there.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that could be cool. I could see where that would be helpful to keep things cool. But then again, annoying sound right next to your ears. Just get the velours.
Well, we gotta wrap this up. It's bedtime.
Yeah.
I gotta find
better footwear for this hike. And I'm also looking at socks too. Yeah, gonna happen tomorrow. Whether I want to or not, it's gonna happen every Thursday.
Everybody talks about how good those socks are, and I've been wearing Darn Tough socks.
Oh, Darn Toughs.
I've been wearing them for probably 10 years, and every pair I've ever
they got owned, lifetime warranties.
They do, and I've never taken advantage of it. But every pair I've ever had, I put a hole in them within a year. Every pair I've had's got a hole in them. Yeah.
So I'm gonna buy two pairs of them. They're like $20 a pair too. Yep. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Oh.
Play us out.
Play us out, huh? What are we playing here? Gotta go to the outro. All right. We're gonna see everybody in March. Enjoy your second last day in February. And we will see you on the flip side. Happy suppositories, Dave.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux, to get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I just checked. It looks like LibreQuest hasn't put out a podcast in like 2 years.
I actually looked that up last week.
It's time to get rid of that promo, I guess. Huh?
There you go.
Ooh.
It's only been a decade since a lot of the Linux links.
I think it's been longer than that.
Yeah. I went on Dick's website, looked up the Ultra Lone Peak 7s. They still want $140 for them. I'm like, yeah, hell no.
That may be discounted. I mean, last time I bought a pair of running shoes, you know, the current model was around $130, $140, and I think that's gone up $30 or $40 now. Current model's usually around $170 now, which is ridiculous.
For what?
A current model. I mean, like if I went to get a new pair of Hokas or something, or Brooks or whatever I was running in.
Right.
Running shoes or trail runners? Yeah, the Lone Peak 8s are $139. On Amazon. So, yeah.
And my wife, she would fuss every time I bought a pair of running shoes when I was running, because I can't run in just any shoes. She can. And she thinks because she can, everybody can.
Right.
Yeah, Dave, why can't you do that? Hey, man.
It has to be neutral. It has to be padded. You know,
you want a pretty ripped. Good toe box on it, so you can, for her pleasure.
For Dave's pleasure.
I didn't realize that suppository quality control technicians spent that much time on their feet. But I guess, you know, the application process.
I never formulated a suppository.
Right.
Sure you have it, Dave.
Every fifth one needs tested, right?
Now, I did I probably told y'all this. I made chewable tablets as well, and for a little while we formulated pet vitamins. And I would just any tablet anybody made, you know, it's chewable. You have to taste it. And I, you know, people say, "Have you tried this one?" I said, "No, I would eat any tablet." And the last one I tried was a what's it called? Coprophagia, when dogs eat their own crap. It was a tablet, yes, that was supposed to stop that, and I didn't know it, but I tried it. It didn't.
You know what?
You still ate crap.
If I just take the last 2 minutes of what you said, I could cut it up in so many wonderful ways. When you said, "I have never formulated a suppository," it could say, "I have never formulated a pet suppository, but I have formulated chewable suppositories," or any of those things.
Oh, I'm stupid.
"I have formulated chewable suppositories for coprophagia." Just piece it all together just like that.
Right.
And we can play it beginning of the show, right?
Making me sweat.
I would do that to you, Dave. But I'm going to stop this recording before you say something else. And yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah, we've not even had a winter this year. South Carolina is the only state. I mean, that's all 50 states. I mean, the panhandle of Georgia has even had, I mean, the panhandle of Florida has even seen some snow this year. South Carolina is the only state that's got no snow. And this is the first time in history we've had two winters in a row with no snow.
That's amazing.
It's not over yet.
It's not over yet, though.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's not, but my wife's really wanting some snow. But it's been a roller coaster just temperature wise this week. It's going to be 15 degrees cooler tomorrow than it was today, and today was 7 degrees warmer than yesterday. So I mean, it's just been up and down. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Is this like an SAT question that we're supposed to figure out what the temperature is?
Right.
So yes, quadratic equation. Yeah.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Dave, because it was 72 degrees here today. It's 67 now. It's going to be 49 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it was like 41 yesterday.
Yeah.
No, you know what?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Like, I had the doors open and everything. It was beautiful today.
Yeah, it rained today here, but it's going to be clear tomorrow. But I think tomorrow is the only day without rain for 12 days.
I don't know if you heard it, though. We had a tornado warning here, and there's five tornadoes hit in and around the Columbus area.
How close to you?
Closest is probably Hilliard or just slightly south of us. I think they're still going through all the damage. We lost power for a couple hours this morning. I was going to go to the gym, but, well, it's kind of a little dangerous to drive during a tornado warning. So, not knowing where things were. Plus, it was pretty dark out still. So, but no damage here. Just 2 hours of power and me lighting my gas stove with a lighter so I can have some breakfast this morning.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
No, wait, you had no power?
Yeah, we had no power for 2 hours.
Oh.
Which is not, it wasn't too bad to, you know, but it went from, it was in the 60s this morning, and now it is 29. Let me go back up. I need to look at the weather bug one.
Is the tornado warning still on?
No, it was just this morning.
That's good.
Yeah, that was first thing in the morning at about 5:20 in the morning. So, it's 29 now. And it's supposed to get down to 24? Yeah, 24. The cold freaking in.
When tornadoes come around Greenville, Dave's got a suppository for that, right, Dave?
Every week.
Well, like I said the two best investments I made were the gas stove and the gas fireplace. Fortunately, this time I didn't have to. Our gas fireplace has a holder for four AA's, so you can actually light it when there's no power. Because normally it's lit by the electric. It's got a electric igniter. You just flip a switch just like you do like on the stove and ignites it. But didn't have to go that far. In the power outage, it never dropped a degree in the house. So it stayed 70 the whole time and comfortable. I've been snacking way too much this week, although I haven't gained any weight. I haven't really lost a whole lot, but I made a mistake when I went to Sam's Club. I bought a big box of all of those individual bags of chips.
It's got to count for it, man, right? Mm-hmm.
Had some of the sweet chili Doritos for a snack earlier. Those are good if you haven't tried those. Had my first class last night. It went pretty good. Mm-hmm. My first class since I left Columbus State over 10 years ago.
Well, that's cool.
No.
No.
Yeah, no
not
thanks.
Cool.
No, I don't want to say it's probably one of the least exciting courses I'm taking.
Well, I just said no for the sake of saying no.
Leadership and organizational behavior. Woo. Yeah. Tomorrow's leave day.
Yep.
What day?
Leap day.
Oh, leap day. Leap day. Leap day. Okay.
It's the 29th. Better hope there's no babies born tomorrow, but there probably will be. Poor kids.
They just get their birthday moved to March 1st.
Or February 28th.
Yeah, one of my sister's sons is born. His birthday's tomorrow.
Oh. Special birthday then.
Yeah, I think he's turning 8, but he's really like 24 or something.
He's like 85. Where's Murph these days?
Busy, huh?
Unacceptable.
Well, that's good. I saw a story earlier this week that Wendy's was going to do surge pricing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I just saw one that Wendy said.
They tried to rephrase it. I don't know if you saw that today. I think they backed off on it, but then they also tried to rephrase saying that, you know, instead of surging the pricing during, you know, the most expensive time of day, they wanted to be able to give discounts at the less busy times of day. Like, that's not the exact... Like, we're supposed to be too stupid to know that that's the exact same thing.
It's
somebody lost their job when Uber, that first press release.
I want to say it's bullshit when it was bullshit when Uber did it. It's still bullshit when they're talking about this for... I mean, come on.
Hey, I don't know. The last couple of times I went to Wendy's, and it's been a while since I've been there, their prices had surged already. So
Everybody's prices have surged.
Oh, my goodness. It's not worth it.
Like McDonald's, you know. People used to go there, not because the food was good, but because the food was cheap.
Yeah.
And now it's not even that. It's even crappier food. It just costs more.
I have been told about that is that they raise their prices to get people to move to the app. Because if you order off the app, it's supposedly a lot cheaper. But I don't know.
For McDonald's?
Yes. No. It's not? What, do you order off the app?
Not that I know of. I have. Now, I will say this. If you order in the app, it's kind of like Starbucks, where that every once in a while you'll get something for free. That's okay, I guess, but...
It's got to be just the economy. I mean, they've gotten rid of their cashiers. Everything's a kiosk now. It's just prices going up. They're doing what they can to stay afloat, probably.
I understand. Ingredients prices have gone up. We have to pay these workers enough to actually be able to live. So the answer is have less workers. And who cares? You know, the company made how many billions of dollars last year? We have to make more than that this year. God forbid we should give back to the people that actually make it possible.
Yep.
See, this is where I would somewhat question that, Dave, because I have noticed that the restaurant prices, at least in my area, anecdotally, have not risen equivalently to what fast food has.
Yeah, but they've gone up. I mean, it's a lot like what you're saying. These big chains, they have shareholders, and they have to make more than they did last year. That's a lot.
Well,
but the mom and pop, they've gone up, but not as much as
I will say this. You know, one of the big issues was just getting people to work for what they were willing to pay, because when they were closed during the pandemic, they literally had to go get new jobs, and now they got new jobs, and why would
work
you
less,
work?
Get paid more?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, and that was a huge part of it. You know, now it's depending on like our Arby's here, both Arby's, we have two Arby's in Grove City. Don't ask me why we have two, but we do. All right. Both of them will regularly run out of the main thing they sell, roast beef. And I'm like, how do you do that? But they do it all the time.
Oh, man, Popeyes in this area is always out of something.
Chicken.
Sometimes they are out of chicken. And you go up there, like, you can have anything you want as long as it's, like, rice and beans.
I will say this.
Chicken wings.
If you want a Chick-fil-A-style chicken sandwich on a Sunday, they are a good substitute.
Oh, Popeyes has a great chicken sandwich.
Popeyes food. It makes me thirsty afterwards. Thirsty as hell, but I do.
That's why what I don't like. Okay, what if you go in there and you look at their menu? Some of them you can ask for this onion rings. They have onion rings. All right.
Who are we talking about? Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Popeyes. Okay. Popeyes had the best onion rings ever. I knew them from all the way back when I was in high school. We had them when I lived in the Philly area, and they had like the best onion rings because they put like a little bit of cayenne in the batter. Oh man, they're so good. But I don't think they have
remember
them anymore.
McDonald's French fries back in the 70s and 80s, don't you? I mean,
when they made them with beef tallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember them from the 80s, but I'm going to have a difficult time remembering anything in the 70s. I remember the burgers actually being burgers in the 80s, and then it was sometime in like the mid-90s where they turned into like cardboard pancakes.
Well, I worked at McDonald's in high school, and then my memory is not that good, but maybe the patties were a little juicier then. I don't know.
I just see Dave spitting on him on the grill. It's like, you need more juice, Dave. All right. Spitting his tobacco on there.
Every once in a while, though, I'll just get a two cheeseburger meal at McDonald's. That's really the only one I like anymore.
Working at McDonald's is where he got the idea for the flavored suppositories.
That's Dave.
Tallow.
I worked for my first job was Burger King.
Did you ever work fast food, Dan?
I did. I worked two different places. And I'll never work fast food again.
Pizza Hut?
No.
I worked
Burger King and Taco Bell.
Home of the Whopper.
I worked at Dairy Queen for about 2 weeks.
See, I worked at Burger King when they had the burger bundles, and I missed those. Those were good, actually.
What was the kicker, the killer there for you for Dairy Queen?
Why did I only work there 2 weeks?
Yeah, why only 2 weeks?
Because my mother also worked there, and it just didn't work out.
Oh, because that's about as long as I worked at Taco Bell. And they had me working the shift from like 10 o'clock at night till 4 in the morning. I was like,
yuck.
Nah, this is not. And I basically, had to walk like
basically the
to
janitorial
there.
Shift?
Well, they were. It just was in state college, so they
so you were cleaning up all the puke.
And so they stayed open till about 3 o'clock in the morning because they did the bar rush after bars closed, and then they closed at like 3, and then there was cleanup, and then the next crew came in I think at like 7 in the morning or 6, or whatever. Yeah, it was. I hated it.
Sounds that almost as fun as working at 7-Eleven on the overnights.
Working at Taco Bell was the first and only job I think I ever held that I worked my ass off and looked at the clock and it felt like I'd been there all day and only 15 minutes went by. it was you worked, and once there was like a little break, they just stuck a broom in your hand and says, "Get cleaning up." You know, there's just like, it was crazy.
Yep.
Anyway. Well, I worked at Burger King in high school. And then when I came out here, I worked for Meijer in the bakery. Then I graduated and I quit my bakery job, assuming that graduate placement would get me a job or help me get a job, right? You know, well, that didn't happen. So I went back and I applied for a seasonal job at Kohl's. I worked there for Christmas holiday, and then they didn't keep me after Christmas. And then I went and applied. They were opening a new Meijer closer to Kahana, which is another suburb of Columbus. Mm. And I went up there and I worked as a cashier for a couple years till I got my first IT job with Columbus State.
Did you fill the donuts?
My first job.
I did bake donuts once. I did make donuts.
He filled them too, whether or not he was making them. He knew exactly where he got the cream.
Ha ha.
Anyway, no, my first job, let's see, delivering papers and then shucking corn and detasseling corn. And then.
Wait a second.
Shucking corn is the worst.
Hold on. How many hours a day were you shucking corn?
I don't know.
That sounds like an insane job.
It is.
Those worms.
Yeah, those worms.
Did it tear your hands apart?
Yeah, a little bit. They got really dry.
I bet.
That. But I was like 12.
Child labor. There you go.
You were like 12? Oh.
I was like 12, yeah. 12, 13, somewhere in that range.
That's when you had the newspaper job, too, around that age, right?
Yeah, 11. Yeah. I had the newspaper job.
My first job, I was 13. I was a Boy Scout camp staff member.
Yeah, and then
that's where you started the suppository, man. Sorry.
I had a couple of year break from jobs, and then I was working for a local John Deere on their making their websites. And then, I worked for Dairy Queen for that 2 weeks, and then I worked for a company called Alco, just kind of like Target, or I don't know if you guys, do you guys have duck walls?
Nope.
Okay.
It's kind of like Target, but smaller. Free. Yeah, it's kind of like Target, but smaller, but it's owned by Duckwall. So it's Duckwall Alco. But then after that, I joined the military. And then after that, I worked for a security company. And then Fisher Hydraulics, making pistons and heads. a little bit of C-like programming there. The code that ran the machines was very similar to C, but it wasn't C. And then after that, I worked for the University of UT at El Paso, so University of Texas of El Paso, doing UI testing. And then I got a job with Hewlett-Packard. Oh, no, I forgot. For like 5 years there, I worked for 7-Eleven. While also working for the University of Texas.
I was a faculty associate when I was getting my bachelor's degree, second or third term in. It was all due in part to both Grade Point, plus I could do work study while I was there. I got to read papers. And because I was the FA for the physics class, I got to play with superconductors and liquid nitrogen.
The range of crazy crap that I have done, I mean, from mucking stalls living on a farm to freaking working on multi-billion dollar trades for large companies.
The best part-time job I ever had was with the Department of Agronomy at Clemson when I was a student, and I got to hoe cotton.
Mm.
I loved it because I was outside. Yeah, it was variety testing for cotton, grain sorghum, soybeans, corn, and peanuts. Five different experimental stations across the state, and I had to go to each one and do stuff. It was all outside, though. I loved it.
That sounds fun.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I haven't been shot at in like 20 years, so
yeah,
things is good.
The worst part of when I was working for Burger King is they always seemed to put me on fries. And then one day, I backed my elbow into one of those hot fry baskets right after it came out of the grease, and I got grid marks in my elbow.
Did you sing Ding Fries Are Done?
I was young.
Is that you, Joel?
No. So, see, I did specialty broiler fries, and mostly it had me on specialty or fries. The specialty was like making like the chicken sandwiches and veal parmesan back when they had those.
All right, we got to start
good
the show
too, back in the day.
But one more thing, since
yeah,
reminiscing about Burger King. When I was at Burger King, they did the table service. Were you there at Burger King when they did that, Joel?
Oh, I was not. No,
they had you customer facing, Dan.
That's when you when you walked in and they sat you down. They brought little dishes of popcorn while you waited for your food.
They kept me on the grill. I wasn't customer facing.
You know what? Honestly, I think I was customer facing like two or three times. I don't recall ever doing the cash register, but I did do expediting a few times. And
that like triage for fast food? What is that?
No, that's what they called. You were responsible for getting the ticket
and putting
the food together.
Gotcha.
And then I did that, and I also. Like when they did the table service, there were a few times when I had to deliver the food out to the table. So
see, the bad thing with that, the table services, they did stuff. They actually had good products on that. You know, because they were a little
machine,
different.
I'd go back and watch it.
Yeah, they had they served like you had a choice between fries or a baked potato, and there was like a steak sandwich, which was like a steak patty,
which was good.
On a long roll, yeah. There was that. I think there was like fried shrimp, maybe, and I can't remember. There was a chicken offering too, or whatever. It wasn't bad.
I just googled it. There was a Whopper dinner basket, a steak sandwich dinner basket, a chicken dinner basket. In a shrimp dinner basket.
Okay, I was right there.
I had the steak one.
You didn't get to meet Meg Ryan, did you? She got her start doing a Burger King commercial in 82.
Yeah, not at my store, not in State College.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, you know what? One last thing is, by the end of the night, I used to run like a few extra burgers and stuff through, and we'd always end up with like too much, so that I could take them home to my roommates, who love to eat the shit out of those. And sometimes, like, I would come home with like 3 or 4 bags, and one of those bags would sit in the back of the refrigerator for like a month. And when you pulled it out and looked at the burger, it was just fine. Like, you could still eat the burger.
It looked normal.
There's not enough moisture in it for it to go bad.
All right, let's start the show. This is getting late.
What I always used to do, I'd make them chicken tenders, and I'd dip them in mayonnaise.
Oh, man, chicken tenders were like free food back there when you're behind the line. Take a chicken tender, wrap it in a piece of cheese.
Right.
Yeah, wrap it in a piece of cheese with a pickle and squirt some ketchup or barbecue sauce on there or mustard or whatever you want. Oh, man, you just feast all night long on that stuff. The shrinkage at the store was terrible.
That's not a lie.
Of course
it was.
It wasn't as bad as the embezzlement going on in the parking lot, but that's another story. Anyway, all right, let's do you know what the show this is, Dave?
10:41.
Yeah,
I thought we was just gonna play the outro.